listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, and we've got another big hour of open wheel action coming at you again this Tuesday. If you'd like to be a participant in the show, there's several ways to do so. You can email us, radio at tjslideways.com. That way you can get us into the inbox, our Facebook fan page for tjslideways.com, and on Twitter, at tjslideways. Jeff Bloom, a little 500 veteran, will be joining us tonight later on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And this is kind of the start of the march towards the little 500 at the end of the month, and Bloom is the perfect person to kick it off, the guy who's seen about as much success as anyone outside of Eric Gordon, maybe, in that race and a couple of others. But somebody who's been doing it for 3 decades now, going on 4. It's a pretty awesome feat. So definitely wanted to get him on. It's a great way to start our march towards the little 5. And the month of May is getting ready to kick off. We are going to have Indy car action. We're going to have sprint cars, midgets, silver crown. Everything's going to be in action this month as racing season really gets cranked into high gear. And, of course, that leads us into the first thing for tonight. We have to cover what's happening in the racing world. The latest dirt. So this is what's happening in the racing world. World of Outlaws, Eldora Speedway last weekend. Joey Saldana on Friday night taking a thrilling victory over there at the Big E. Saturday, unfortunately, rained out just in time for Mudcloud Bob and I to show up. But not all was lost on that day, as we went over to the Butler Motor Speedway and had a pretty awesome evening over there. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. United States Auto Club was soggy about Wednesday or Thursday. They decided that Lincoln Park Speedway wasn't going to be ready in time for the USAC National Sprint Car event, so they got rained out. ASCS National Tour suffered the same feat. The Rock and Roll 50 over at the Riverside International Speedway rained out. And over in Western Pennsylvania, we gotta give it up for Danny Smith, man. Sweeping Louisville and Mercer. His 3rd and 4th wins in a row. 4 different racetracks in 2 weeks and 4 wins. Probably the hottest sprint car driver in the country right now. And the one with the longest winning streak. On the other end of that, the parody world of Central PA sprint car racing. Different winners again this week. Fred Raymer taking the Grove. Alan Crimes at Lincoln. And Justin Henderson at Port Royal. That wraps up
the latest dirt.
It'll be interesting to see with the Central Pennsylvania deal how that's going to shake down, because with the Outlaws coming to town, normally there's a dominant team or two. Somebody you expect to go in and beat the Outlaws. But and especially with the challenge race coming up this week, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show as well, it's going to be really interesting to see who, you know, comes on top now in the future. But the challenge race, who is going to step up for the posse? And with so many drivers winning this year, this might be the prime opportunity for the World of Outlaw regulars to get back on the scoreboard here and win one at the Grove. And I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be kind of a now or never deal. And we'll have to see how that shakes down at Williams Grove this week. But this is when the World of Outlaw season really hits a fever pitch. This is when, you know, the rubber meets the road, and, you know, we might see some teams drop off if they are going to drop off, even though they're all seemingly pretty strong right now, especially with all the rainouts. That can be good and bad. It's good that you're not running the equipment, but you're still running the hauler down the road, and the diesel prices right now, it's not making no money coming in is not a good thing. And I think that's part of the reason they waited so long on Saturday to cancel Eldora. Those guys have not had a steady paycheck this spring, and everyone on that tour is basically racing for their dinner. So definitely had to get those guys, give it a good honest shot. And they made the right call. If you look at our Twitter, if you look back on our Twitter updates, you'll see a picture we tweeted from the racetrack. Actually, it's probably you're probably 30 miles down the road, but it was saturated. There's no way that was going to happen. And if it did, it would have been like 3, 4 a.m. And it wasn't even warm enough to dry out the racetrack. And we had reports from the track later on, too. It did pour from people that were camping there about 2 hours after it quit raining there. So it would have been all futile if they would have tried running it in. They made the right call and made it early enough so we could get to another racetrack. So it was all good. So that's what's happening in the racing world, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to try to get Jeff Bloom on the line. We're going to talk Little 500. We're going to talk wing pavement, sprint car racing. We're going to talk a lot of different things. Bloom's an interesting fellow. We can talk to him about a multitude of different subjects, and we'll tackle that next. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
And welcome back to the show. Our first guest tonight has a credential list for just one race that could make a career. And, you know, we'll get to that in a minute, but he's been racing for longer than I've been alive, and I can remember seeing him race pretty much my whole life, and he'll be trying to make another attempt at the Little 500 this year. He's also going to be going to Winchester Speedway with the must-see Extreme Sprint Car Series this weekend. Jeff Bloom, I'm really glad to have you on tonight.
Well, you know, it's cool to be on.
Oh yeah, and it's always a nice, even when we're at the racetrack, to have a chat. Now, Winchester this weekend. Let's start off with the present. Winchester coming up with the must-see series. When they first announced several years ago that the Wing Sprint cars were going to go to the high banks, were you a little skeptical of it, or were you excited when they first announced maybe a decade ago that they were going to do this?
Well, I was quite skeptical of it, plain and simply because most of the wing and wing brackets that people used weren't heavy enough, strong enough for the downforce and the speed that would be generated at Winchester. You know, and most of these people didn't run non-wing, so they really didn't realize it.
Yeah, and now, and compared to now, you know, it's a regular thing for the guys. Do you still, you know, it's a whole different animal when you go to those high-banked racetracks with the wing sprint cars, though, compared to some of the other ones, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these cars, well, I mean, it's pretty simple. Every track we go to, we have the track record. I mean, these are the fastest pavement short track cars in the world.
And, you know, as a driver, you know, what are some of the things that, do you do things different to prepare your car for these high bank tracks versus, like, let's say, going to Kalamazoo or Berlin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're comparing Winchester to some of the short tracks, I run different wheel offsets. Actually, I change a lot of springs. Shock package is totally different. Springs, obviously, are going to be a lot stiffer for a big track like Winchester. I offset the front end and the rear end a little bit. There's a lot of things you do for those tracks that you wouldn't do or don't have to do for the short tracks.
Now, coming into this season with the pavement sprint cars, there's a lot of different things going on. You're one of the guys that pretty much races wherever you can. We have three series right now with the 410 wing pavement sprint cars putting on races. What do you think of the state of the wing pavement 410 deal right now as of today? What do you think of the overall state of it when you think of all three series?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's got to be better than it's been because I've got, on my personal schedule, I've got 33 races this year. Last year, I ran 22, and the year before, 21. So, obviously, with the third group and the other two groups not on normal nights, not stacking races on top of each other, you know, it makes more races for the drivers, you know.
And more racing is always a good thing, generally. Now, also, you know, with the television, the Must See series is bringing in. You've also did a lot of the Thursday Night Thunder stuff, and now with this Must See stuff. Do you think the television really helps the grassroots race, roots racer? Do you find any benefit, any benefit in it at all?
Well, I mean, other than you have friends that call from, you know, Idaho, from California, from North Carolina, from other places that you haven't talked to for several years. I mean, people that we knew and we used to go out there and race in different places, they call up and, hey, I can't believe you're still racing. I see you on TV, you know. And as far as actually getting sponsors, the economy is not very good, obviously. It's a thing. I believe it was going to take a few years before it really helps the grassroots racer be able to get some kind of a decent sponsorship.
And now let's kind of look at the whole thing. What year in your career are we approaching now? How many years have you been racing actually now?
This will be 45 consecutive years.
That is something else. 45 years ago. So, obviously, you know, how did you get into it? 45 years ago, what triggered Jeff Bloom to get into racing?
Well, I started going to races when I was 6 weeks old. My dad used to race, back then, in the late 40s and 50s, was modifieds. And I started going when I was 6 weeks old and really has never quit.
So you just don't know any different. That's just, it's what you do. And it, obviously your whole family is involved. I always see your family at the racetrack. And eventually, when did you migrate to sprint cars on, you know, primarily on pavement? You've done quite a bit of dirt racing, but you did, you know, you're primarily known for your pavement racing. When did you migrate to the open wheel cars?
Well, basically, I started out in super modifieds on pavement. I mean, that's what we had. Local organizations in northern Indiana, and you know, I just in the fall of 71, a good friend of mine, Ray Wright, out of Elkhart, which you may remember, he used to race all the time, and he was then. He said, you know, you need to build a sprint car instead of keep running the modifieds. The sprint cars pay a lot better. So we built a sprint car over the winter, and I went to Anderson that year, and I won the Little 500 as a rookie, my first year racing sprint cars.
And we'll get to the Little 500 stuff here in a second, because I've got a bevy of questions for that alone, let alone anything else. You know, with the so, you know, in the 80s, there was a big dry spell of pavement sprint car. There just wasn't pavement sprint car racing for a while there when USAC dropped the division. Did you think with Thursday Night Thunder and stuff, but during that dry spell, did you think it would ever come back to what it is now?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, at that point, probably then, probably not. But, you know, you got to remember, there was Outlaw, there was TriSAC organization up here, and there was Outlaw races all over. You could still run 25, 30 times a year.
It just, you had to kind of hunt and pack for it a little bit, yeah. And then, you know,
it just wasn't USAC or, you know, the Silver Crown wasn't that kind of stuff. It was more, you know, like the dirt, little local dirt stuff, you know.
Yeah, and now it's seen a resurgence, you know, on the wing side. Obviously, it's going pretty good. This year, USAC separated out the sprint cars from the National Sprint Car Tour. What do you think of them? Of the United States Auto Club taking the pavement sprint cars and making a separate series out of it?
Well, I mean, obviously they had to do something. 2 years ago at Salem, they had 12 cars show up for the Joe James Pat O'Connor Memorial. Last year they had, we ran a split show with them, and I believe they had 11 cars last year. They just had to do something. They were only having 5, 6, 7 races a year. And, you know, you take a pavement sprint car, which you basically can't use anything that you do on dirt, okay? So now you're talking building a $75,000, $80,000 race car to run 5 or 6 times. And, you know, the people just aren't going to do that.
And it seemed to have shown, we'll have to see how it pans out through the rest of the year, but the car count up early in the year and that. But after Winchester here, We're gonna get to a race that has, for some reason, I was a late bloomer to, but obviously you're not, and it's a Little 500 time. And if you're gonna describe the Little 500 to a sprint car fan that has never been to it, how would you convince them to go?
Just like I do all the time, I tell them they gotta go. That's a race that you've never seen anything like it, and you never will, other than at that race.
And here's an interesting fact. I didn't know this. I knew you had won it as a rookie in 1972. There's only 3 other guys that have ever done that. One of them won the first one, Sam Skinner. Larry Dixon and Greg Loeffler. That's some pretty good company to be in.
It was fun.
But one thing that's been interesting, you won the race with a starter one time. And I don't think anyone else has won it with a starter since. Chet Phillip has his car that has one now. Why do you think someone hasn't been able to pull that off since you did it?
I would say probably the competition is tougher now than it was back then. I mean, even though I had only been racing for 5 years, but I won a lot of features in the super modified stuff around, and the cars were good, and again, I had to thank my dad. He really pushed me to adjust the cars and learn what it took when you went out and practiced to come back and adjust the cars. He made me always do it myself, so that when I went back out, I felt what the car changed, so I knew what I needed. And it's just, I believe today there's a lot more money in racing, and it's a lot harder, you know, for a rookie to be able to do that.
And, you know, do you think a self-starting car will ever win that race again?
you know what, I doubt that you'll see another self-starting car, plain and simply because, just like last year, it took 11 twos for the pole, and it took 11-7 to make the race for the top 33 cars. I don't know that you're going to have anybody try and put a clutch and a starter on for fear of what it's going to slow you down qualifying.
Now, also another aspect of it, you mentioned the close qualifying, but also you have to do well in the pits. When you have a race team that makes pit stops once a year, how do you prepare for that? I mean, you know, how much practice do you do leading into it? Because it's not something we do, you know, more than once in a blue moon, twice a year.
Right. You do it once a year. And I have some of the guys that live up here close. Mainly the tire changers come over. And we practice three or four times before the weekend, before we go down. The fuel rig guys, you know, we do it there. You can practice, you can set up. You don't need the whole hose and rig. You just need the male end of it. And it's just how you got to get the thing straight in there. And the guys that I've had, you know, I mean, I've had the same guys for, I don't know, probably 12 years, 13 years. So they pretty much know what they're doing, you know.
And you probably have a guy chasing down the push truck.
Oh, yes. You got to have a guy with, and I have the big flashlight, the floodlight, that you use, like when you go shining, if you want to go see something, a deer or something. So I make sure that, and they know it, so when the light goes off, they better be getting the truck, because that is one thing. It doesn't matter how fast your crew is, if you get goofed up with the trucks, and, you know, get one truck going one way and one the other, and you're sitting there done and no truck, that's a tough one to swallow, and it happens to everybody.
Yeah, and I imagine in 34 starts or so, you know, in this race, you probably have a good pit stop story. What's the most unusual thing that's ever happened to you in a little 500 pit stop?
Well, probably the weirdest thing was last year. It had rained and rained so much the day before and the night before, and we set our fuel rigs up and stuff, and I come in for my first pit stop, and they jacked it up, changed the tires, and got pushed off, and away we went. Well, my chief mechanic guy on the radio said, after I went about five or six laps, he says, we got to come in and put fuel in it. We didn't get any fuel in it. And, of course, I said, what? You know, what's going on here? He said, they grabbed the hose, and when they pulled on it, the rig dumped over, and it dumped the whole barrel and the whole rig dumped over right there at the back end of the car. Fortunately, it didn't hurt anybody.
I was going to say that you never know what's going to happen in the pits at the Lowell 500, and that is a doozy right there. You know, you're coming up on, I believe this is going to be the 35th start in the race this year, should you make it. And
I don't know. I don't keep track.
Well, luckily Anderson Speedway did, and that's what they sent us. And could you even imagine when you won that first one that you'd still be doing this 35 years later at Anderson?
You know, no, at that point, but I tell all the young kids, all the guys I race with, the young guys, I said, make sure you get yourself a little diary or a notebook, and every day you go to the races, you write down the date of it and what you did. And I said, because it's like with me, this is my 45th year racing. I had no clue when I started racing that I would be doing it 45 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, I've heard that advice from a lot of racers that have done this for longer than I have and longer than, you know, pretty much any racer that's done it more than a decade than I have has passed on that advice. And I find it very good sound advice too, because there's a lot of stories that, you know, I've been going through some stuff for our Way Back Wednesday features, and looking back at some of the stuff I wrote 10 years ago, I'm like, holy cow, it's stories about going to the races, and some of the stuff that happens on the way there can be as interesting as that the stuff that happens at the racetrack. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked with Dave Argybright and stuff. My wife and I have started making some notes and trying to remember stuff, because maybe if we live long enough, we may end up and write a book. Now, the book will be a foot thick. It'll have to be. But we've talked about doing something like it, just in all the different people, the different experiences that you've had over a lifetime.
Yeah, and it's something else. And I can only imagine, because you've been doing this, you know, roughly about 20 more years than I have, and I didn't write down the first 10 or 15 anything, so I could only imagine. You know, with the Little 500, kind of getting back to that, the traffic always just fascinates me. The fast guys, how do you approach it? Do you think about it? Do you just react to it? Because, I mean, there's no other race where I've seen where you're in traffic more than the Little 5.
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to remember, you're not running qualifying speed. Okay, so you're off the pace a little. You're not wide open every straightaway. And when you come up to a group of two guys racing side by side, or where you got one guy really ducking his nose under trying to, you just back up a little bit and you wait the two or three or four laps to whatever happens. And then you go on. You just can't come up there and bang your way through, because you're going to end up in trouble.
And how much does the racetrack change from beginning to end? Is it more like maybe a dirt race in some regards, or does it stay pretty consistent?
No, if you've been there and you've watched it enough, you know, they throw rosin bags if the track starts to get shiny looking, which is, you know, guys leaking rear end grease, engine oil, whatever, brake fluid, whatever. In that track, I've had it get slippery. I mean, I've seen it happen a few times, but they're pretty good. They come out with the rosin bags and little plastic bags, and they'll throw them out on the racetrack, and you race through them, and, you know, in 10, 15 laps, you know, it straightens back up again.
That's pretty amazing. So you've been doing this for 45 years now on 34 level 500 starts. How much longer are you going to do this?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, like my wife, I've talked to her about it. I said, more than anything is health. If I can see and I'm healthy, you know, I do all my own cars. I do all everything myself. So if I'm healthy enough to do it, and my vision is good, and obviously if your reaction goes away, you can't. But, I mean, I won three features last year, as many as any of the groups. I don't think it's time to quit yet.
I wasn't suggesting that at all. I want to see you for another decade. So, I mean, we look at how long Benny Rapp raced. So, I mean, crud, you could probably go another 10, 20 years or so at that rate.
But, I mean, honestly, that's what I'm looking at. You know, somewhere, you know, 70, 72 probably. Again, as long as everything, you stay healthy.
Yeah, why not? It's something I've seen recently, too. It seems like racers used to, you know, we've got racers now racing longer. Do you think that's a tribute to some of the equipment and the seats and stuff?
Well, I mean, obviously one of the things is the safety aspect. They're around longer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but it is. I mean, and part of the seat, part of the different safety things that we have also make the cars easier to drive, more manageable. You sit in there, you don't get flopped around like you used to. It makes it easier for the older guys.
Do you run one of the newer seats, or do you run a more traditional seat?
Nope, I run the traditional stuff. I don't like those other ones myself, because you can't see. I don't like it when I can't see, you know. I mean, I want to see both sides.
You know, and that's something I see in a lot of veteran drivers. You know, I think it's a matter of just what you're used to, I think, because like you said, if you're not comfortable in the race car, it's not going to work. And I find a lot of veteran drivers have a harder time with the newer seats. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you making time out for us, and I'm sure you have some people to thank that help make this whole deal possible for you.
Well, it's, I mean, obviously Tony Stewart, he sponsors me, and Tony Swanson at Swanson Engines, and, you know, I've got some other ones, Allen Trailer Sales in Valparaiso, Sterling Express, trucking company, Merrill Allen. I mean, there's, you know, there's some people that that definitely helped me out.
And all those people, you know, have been helping a lot of them for a long time. And, Jeff, it's been an honor to have you on. Look forward to seeing you at Anderson in a few weeks. And I'll tell you what, hopefully you can pull off another victory so we can talk to you a week after the race.
It would be cool. The one I got to thank the most, obviously, is my wife. I mean, she's my pit crew half the time. I don't want to forget her. So.
Oh yeah.
But
don't ever forget the wives. You know, I've seen many a racing banquet where drivers forget to thank their wives, and it's a long walk back to the table.
So. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I did that one of the Hall of Fames that I was inducted in. I forgot to say something, and as soon as I got off the podium and started walking, I got this beady-eyed stare, and I'm thinking, whoops, I goofed up.
And I did something similar in an awards banquet, too, and I still hear about it to this day. So, well, Jeff, look forward to seeing you at Anderson, and good luck the rest of the year.
Cool, and I appreciate it. Are you going to come to the Little Five?
Oh, of course I am. I'm going to, you know, the only years I won't be at the Little 500 are the years that falls on my anniversary, because I'd be dead, or if I'm actually dead. Otherwise, I will be there, so I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Come by and say hi, then.
Oh, I will. I will before and after the race. Jeff Bloom, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the adventure we took last weekend from Eldora to Butler. You're listening to the TJ Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear. Welcome back to the TJ Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. We could do a whole show with him. I think we will this offseason. Jeff and I were talking off the air, and yeah, I think we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do some off-season shows where we do the whole hour with someone like him, because I mean, that was supposed to be a 15-minute interview, and about 25 minutes later, we had, you know, we hadn't even scratched the surface. So we might have to tape something up this winter, maybe do a legend series or something, because that was just way too much fun. Oh, I've got the best gig in racing. Anyway, going back to the best gig in racing, Mudclod Bob and I hit the road this past weekend, and you heard Bloom and I talking about stories. Well, here's one for you. If you didn't get enough of the we got rained out at Eldora and went to another racetrack part one in April, we did part two on Saturday. We left Charlotte, Michigan, thinking, well, it looked okay. I mean, and thankfully Dan McCarron backed me up on this, because Mudclod Bob thought I was fibbing. He probably thought he was driving us right in the rain. It looked good when we left. I swear it did. And it deteriorated as we headed south. And I'm trying to be optimistic. And it looked like there were some gaps. We might get everything in. So we get there, and everything's still on. And I figured we might have a good shot at racing, because the World of Outlaw guys haven't had a steady paycheck in a while thanks to the weather. So they want to put some dinner on the table. So obviously they're going to go racing. And we're sitting around there, and about 5 o'clock, the faucet got turned on, and it dumped shortly after finishing my pizza burger. And, hey, you know, and luckily, as soon as we heard Eldora officials and World of Outlaw officials aren't conferring about what to do, we pretty much knew what was going to happen. And we started formulating a plan. As soon as we got the official cancellation, we were in the car heading to Butler. Granted, it's not nearly as cool as Donnie Schott's flying to Knoxville to race. That was way more impressive. But we got in the car, and I got to thank James McDonald from Apex One Photo for keeping us up to date, and Jim Fisher for letting everyone know, hey, they're on their way at the front gate, so they weren't surprised when we showed up. And we managed to turn out a pretty good story, a pretty decent little photo gallery you can check out on the website on tjslideways.com from last weekend. But missed the heat races, saw a pretty good feature. Well, I got to tell you what happened at Butler on Saturday. Butler sometimes is the redhead stepchild of the sprint car world, you know, but it's been there for 50-some years, and it's a throwback racetrack. I mean, it's a down-home dirt track kind of thing, but I got to admit, everyone over there has their act together this year. We were out of there at 10 after 10. About 10:15, I rolled out of there with my, dinner. I didn't get the interview. We'll talk about that in a second. But I'd seen the feature, got the first few in the finishing order, and was on the road writing a story. And there were way too many nights the past few years where Butler one-day shows turned into two-day shows, and you couldn't see them anyway because of the dirt. The track surface, the clay they put on the track, I won't go as far as it's like a life changer there, but I mean, it definitely is way better than it was. And track was in real good shape on Saturday night, and I give them all the credit, because they don't have a ton of equipment to prepare the racetrack there. They don't have all the little tooth diggers and all the little toys a lot of other racetracks have. They've got kind of the bare bones on preparing the racetrack at Butler, and it was in really good shape, and had a nice field of cars, had a B main in the sprint cars and the street stocks too. So, and all four divisions had pretty much what I'd consider a full field, and that's a really positive thing to see this early in the year. Hopefully the momentum can continue. I know some other sprint cars are waiting to come out there at Butler. A few guys that weren't there that we know are going to show up later in the year. So, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, there were some SOD drivers, but definitely, you know, if the SOD drivers hadn't been there, there still would have been a decent field of cars there, and it was a good show. Chad Blond drawing the pole, yeah, there isn't much you can say about that. He did a good job. I mean, he expected him to win. He didn't make any mistakes. Did a real nice job. We would have had an interview with Chad, but they go to the infield for the victory lane photo there, and they don't come out until the next feature's done, so I didn't really feel like hanging out through a stock car feature. So we bailed. We pulled the ripcord and, apologized to Chad Bond. We'll get him on the show at some point. We're trying to track him down. He's kind of a hard guy to track down. So we're trying to get a hold of him. So Sean, if you're, you listen to the podcast or whatever, hook me up with Chad here and give me an interview. But Chad Bond picking up the win over there. Greg Dahlman made a nice run, too, through the field. Mackey finishing second, Dahlman third. Dahlman started 10th or 11th, finished third. Nice little run for the top, finishing 360 in the field. And Mackey kept pace through the four opening laps. Since they had traffic, it was a done deal, though. And I do like the fact they send the lap cars around it, Butler. They still do single-file restarts. I don't think double-file restarts would be a very good idea at Butler, but single-file restarts without the lap cars, love it. Everyone up here should do it. Hopefully they will eventually. But had a good experience over there at Butler, and wanted to tell everyone about it because I hadn't always had the best experiences there. I remember one time at Butler, I was filling in for Wayne Bunn. This is two or three management groups back, and I was there, and I was filling in, and it was past midnight, and I was doing all the divisions, one of the few times I've done the whole night. And we had finished up the sprint car race, and I had a wedding to go to in Traverse City the next day. It's already like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm announcing this. All of a sudden, it's Auto Value night, and Gordy Hubbard was there. I'm sure he was not there at 1 a.m., but Gordy Hubbard from Auto Value was there, and I'm announcing this show. And they come out with late models, and all the drivers have their helmets off, and they're getting ready to throw Frisbees into the crowd at 1 a.m., I was just beside myself. I'm like, are you serious? And needless to say, I think I fell asleep at the reception or darn near it the next day. I did make it to the wedding, but that was definitely a memorable story. But those days are over, it looks like, at Butler, and things are going in the right direction. I can't say enough about all the staff, everyone. They were super friendly to us on Saturday, and I'm sure we're going to make it there again. There are alternate plan. There are stay-by. You know, our standard for their choice, you know, their option B every Saturday pretty much, but I think they're going to end up option A a couple times too, because that was a good show, and I look forward to seeing another program over there very soon. So we'll take another quick break, wrap up the show as we're getting ready to go watch some hockey, see if the Detroit Red Wings can keep their season alive. So we'll wrap up the show when we come back. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. Yeah, we got some new toys to play with this week. So, as we continue to grow the show a little bit, and One thing I wanted to talk to our fans about is be social with us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Our Facebook fan page and Twitter page both have exclusive content you won't find on the website. It's not just your typical, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me kind of account. We interact with you. We ask questions. We give updates on the track. And not just results either. We take pictures of goofy stuff we see around the racetrack and all kinds of stuff, and you even get to hear, you get blow-by-blows of Mudcloud Bob and I trying to find a race after we're rained out. Lord knows we've done that already enough this year, so look forward to that. Mudcloud's going to be out and about this weekend. I don't know what his plans are yet. He's going to be at Gas City or Spartan on Friday, probably I-96 on Saturday. I have a family thing to attend to this week, so I will be off this week and kind of doing some homework and some preparation for a little 500 week too. We're going to be doing some stuff down there, so I want to get everything in line for that. So we're going to be doing that. And plus, we haven't visited my grandmother in a while, so we're going to go up and see her this week, I think. And then, next week's show, we're trying to get everything finalized up. We're, it's World of Outlaw week here next week on the Spectacular, because they're going to be in our backyard at I-96 Speedway, next Saturday night, and we're going to kind of focus on that. And they're also at Attica Raceway Park on Friday, too. So they're basically in our backyard for the whole weekend. We're going to have some Outlaw stuff pretty much focus on them next week, and it's going to be a really heavy World of Outlaw program. We're also going to talk some Oshwegan Speedway next week. I know Tommy Googe is going to come on tentatively. He's going to do some co-hosting with me a little bit, and we'll talk Outlaws, we'll talk Oshwegan, and we'll probably have another little 500 related guests too. So that's what we have on tap for next week's show. So that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular. I want to thank you for listening live or on the podcast. If you subscribe on iTunes, download, listen on the website, thank you for taking a minute to tune in. Look forward to doing this again with you next Tuesday. Have a great week, and hopefully get out to the racetrack, and hopefully we all stay dry. Good night, and have safe travels going to the race this week.
You've been listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back next week for your open wheel racing fix.